fashion industry is one that is often singled out as a heavy polluter and the cause of a lot of excess and waste. But beyond calls to boycott fast fashion, claims of sustainable production, recycled and remade garments, and the mantra of buy less but buy quality, there is a whole other booming ecosystem which has become a big part of many wardrobes. Secondhand clothing and consignment, of course, have been around, well, forever, but there are a host of companies out there putting a very interesting spin on this market, from luxury resale to rentals. You're listening to The Entrepreneurs with me, Daniel Bage. On today's show, we'll meet Ashita Capra-Davies of UK rental platform By Rotation, and Sarah Fung of Hong Kong-based luxury resale company Hoola. But before we meet our guests, I thought we'd dig into just how big this market has become. So I called up Elizabeth Payton, a London-based reporter for the New York Times style section, who covers the fashion and luxury sectors. Elizabeth, welcome to the show, and thank you so much for helping us shine some light on this quickly growing sector. First of all, how big is this market, and how important has it become in the world of fashion?
Both rental and resale are huge markets. I mean, resale in particular, I think it was Boston Consulting Group that said the secondhand fashion sector was currently valued at around $30 to $40 billion worldwide, but they expect it to grow by 20% in the next 3 to 5 years. You know, and I think that the recent IPOs we've seen from players like ThredUp and Poshmark and investment into some of the bigger names like Vestiaire, Depop, and then you have this proliferation of small startups coming into the space really underscores that resale has benefited hugely from the last year at a time when so many of us have been cooped up at home. I think for the rental market, which was growing very quickly in the run-up to the pandemic, things have been a little bit more complicated just because the consumers who were using those platforms were mainly after outfits to show off to the outside world. So wedding looks or work events or whatever. But then, of course, you went into lockdown and a lot of them were hit pretty hard. But I've heard vaccination rollouts are obviously gathering speed, and I get the sense there's a big recovery spike now as people get ready to celebrate and be social again. So both huge growth markets and a lot of interest from the fashion space in both of them.
Well, a lot of brands of all sizes in this market are taking on impact and sustainability, of course, but what are some of the other trends that you're noticing in covering this sector at this point?
A big trend, for example, with resale is that a lot of the brands themselves are starting to want to get in on the action. So you have brands ranging from kind of Patagonia to Balenciaga, either developing their own resale platforms or instituting buyback programs. And I think that's a trend that will only grow and grow. I know that for luxury brands, I think it's estimated that rental could constitute about 10% of their revenue in the next 10 years. So, you know, that's a very valid chunk of the market. And I think they've spent a lot of time looking at the growth of these rivals and started realizing that really they're having their lunch eaten. I think another thing I've just noted, especially in the last year, in the case of resale anyway, it was a space dominated largely by Generation Z, or the perception was that it was a space really dominated by younger people. But actually, millennials and boomers are getting in on the act, especially with the growth of areas like kids' clothes or high-value luxury items. And actually, when you speak to a lot of the business owners in this space, they say that the age range of their customers is 15 to 90. And then just lastly, in terms of trends, I guess this is a fashion trend. What I'm hearing in many places is that the roaring 20s are not just coming, they are here. And people are now renting outfits in bold colors and bright prints. It's very celebratory and kind of over the top. And I think if you think of fashion as a medium of self-expression, and we've all been sitting at home in our sweatpants for the last year, it's not really a surprise that there's this direct reflection and outpouring now as we start to come out at the other side of the pandemic.
You mentioned how some of the big brands are getting involved in resale and in rentals too. Just from a marketing perspective, what has been the conversation about how some of these brands position themselves to their customers?
I think it's a real challenge. I think it's a real balancing act. I think at some ends, you see brands like fast fashion players like H&M are entering into the secondhand space. And while there are some luxury players entering into the space, I think a lot of the watch sellers and the jewelry brands are a really good example. There are a lot of well-known names who are very hesitant to go into the space because they see it as ultimately reducing the amount that they're rolling out to consumers. I think that luxury in particular has always been a very conservative space. They like to watch and see what other people do first. And I just don't think they expected this market to get as big as it did. But now it is as big as it is. They feel like they have to get in on it as well. I haven't yet seen any high-end marketing or kind of big efforts to reach out over social from the brands themselves. But I wouldn't be surprised if we see that in the next couple of years.
Very well said, and lots to watch there. Elizabeth, thank you so much for your time.
No problem. Thank you very much for having me.
That's Elizabeth Payton, a reporter here in London for the New York Times Style section. Next up, it's time to look at rentals. There are a host of players, but one of the most interesting platforms is BuyRotation, which was launched in late 2019 by Ashita Kabra-Davies here in the UK. The peer-to-peer platform has seen incredible growth in the past 18 months, led by Ashita, who started her career in finance and investment, not in fashion.
So I used to work as an investment analyst for about 6.5 years right after university. So I have absolutely no background in fashion, or I guess tech maybe a lesser extent. I used to dabble in web designing since the age of 12. I don't know if anyone's familiar with neopets.com, but that was totally my thing. But yeah, I mean, I, you know, approached BuyRotation from a very sort of average consumer sort of perspective. I wanted to have access to designer quality clothing, and I wanted to have it at accessible prices. And I also became very aware of the problem of waste in the fashion industry. Fashion is something we think about every day, you know, when we put on clothes. So I really wanted to empower the average consumer by creating a community through technology, by enabling them to share their belongings with each other, thereby saving the planet, money, also looking great at the same time, and also connecting and building bonds with people who have the same style as them.
Yeah, very interesting. And I love the idea of building a community. Obviously, a lot of people these days are thinking about that impact that you mentioned and the wastefulness in the industry. So talk to me a little bit about how you began to build that community and how you got that off the ground.
So as a very average consumer, I didn't have any connections or any experience with the fashion industry. But being in London, I think, you know, everyone is very chic, you know, everyone's quite style conscious. So I enlisted the help of my own friends and my network. It's kind of a similar story, I suppose, to Vestiaire Collective, which obviously has just raised another 180 million, I think, from the Kering Group and a few others. You know, I just got my friends to start listing their own items on a test platform that I created over the weekend. So I was still working full-time in finance. You know, I was using my salary to pay a couple of freelancers. So someone working in marketing and someone working in PR. And they were kind of helping me get it off the ground, spreading our messaging and our concept across the UK. And next thing you know, we're getting picked up by The Guardian, Lucy Siegel, who writes about, you know, the fashion industry, and also kind of, you know, getting picked up by a lot of, I would say, fashion press. So whether that's Vogue or Refinery 29. And I think that's when I kind of started realizing that it wasn't just this need that I had created within my friends and myself. It was actually something that the wider UK would be interested in. And, you know, as we started getting more traction, we started hearing about others in the neighboring countries who would also like to have the service. So I'm really kind of positioning BuyRotation as the fashion rental version of Depop or Vestiaire Collective. So it's got a huge focus on community because at the end of the day, we are very much a marketplace model. It's completely peer-to-peer. So building that community has been the main thing that I focused on, even during the pandemic. And I'm sure we'll talk about that.
Yeah, absolutely. I would love to obviously come on to that and how that's impacted usage of the platform. But I'm just curious why you chose the rental model. Obviously, you mentioned some of the other players in the more resale model, and that has been a huge market in recent years. And interesting because people wanting to resell things and get rid of the things that they do have that they don't use. But talk to me about why you chose rentals.
Such a great question, Daniel. And no one really asked me that because I am a huge fan of Depop and Vestiaire Collective. And I've chosen, you know, not to add a buy button on our app. It's very easy to do that, but we've made a very conscious decision not to do that. And I think it kind of stems from my own worldview. So I grew up in Singapore, and I don't know if you guys are familiar, but Singapore is notorious for having a very shopaholic population. All we do is shop and eat. There's not much to do in Singapore. I grew up in that kind of environment. And, you know, one of the things that I really noticed was that I loved having new things, but they didn't necessarily have to be completely new. Like, they didn't have to come out of a new box or a new paper bag or whatever. They just had to feel new to myself. And I also loved all the things, and I still love all the things that I actually own. I'm not trying to always get rid of them and kind of, you know, go through that sort of churn. I would love to get more use out of the things that I already own. And that's why the concept for buy rotation was more about all the things that you already love. You know, you should firstly buy less, buy better, and share more. I think they say you need to have minimum 30 uses of the items that you own to ensure that they've actually, you know, they're actually items that you love and they've been well used. I think it was really to get myself closer to that number, to make sure that each one of my fashion items had more than 30 uses. And I'm getting to that because I'm sharing the items that I own.
So talk to me about how it actually works. I know there are a number of options. You can meet up in person if you find something you like. You could send that by post, send it by courier. Obviously, I imagine the number one question you get from people is about how garments are cleaned. But just talk to me about how the actual process works.
So you download the free app. It's on iOS and also Android, and you create an account. So we very recently updated the entire app to make it much more of a social network. So everyone has a username. You can follow each other. You can like each other's listings. You can save them and create mood boards. So kind of like Pinterest while you're planning your different outfits when we finally get to go out again. We've created a lot of engagement touch points. So that's kind of how the app works. In terms of how the exchange works between users, it's as you described, you know, we have those three options. So it's predominantly women on the app. It's about 95% women, although we do intend to push it out more to men as we continue to grow and expand. What we have really noticed is that the women tend to repeat rent from people they've already rented from before, because they've kind of started forming these bonds, these sort of acquaintanceships. We call them style matches, where they're comfortable with the lender and the renter, and they'll continue to borrow from their wardrobe. So that's really the goal, to continue having those super users that rotate with each other all the time.
I like that you mentioned trying to entice men to use the platform as well. I, someone that collects way too many things, have been interested in consignment, which isn't really a thing for men. I think they just perhaps shop differently a lot of the time, where women might be a lot more comfortable with sharing or passing things along or buying something secondhand, we can say. How might you work to combat that and get more people on the platform?
Really interesting. I mean, I've only got a couple of shopaholic male friends, and you're completely right. I mean, males, for example, men, you know, they do shop very differently to women, but I think there's an entire market over there. So in the UK, Moss Brothers is really famous. It's been under pressure lately. It's where you sort of rent tuxedos and suits. And what I've heard from a lot of my male friends is that a lot of times they would like to rent something more elaborate. So, you know, something like a Tom Ford smoking jacket. And those are the kind of items that are probably £3,000, £4,000, £5,000 worth. And it's not something that you would wear that often. So I definitely think there's a market out there for men. Now, the question is really how to tap into those wardrobes, because not many men have them. So one of the things that we've been doing is we've been talking to a few brands, menswear, that actually do have samples and, you know, would like to rent out some of their old season items. So, you know, we've been speaking to a few tailors on Savile Row. And then there's another larger American brand that I probably can't name at the moment. We're trying to get men more involved in this secondhand, you know, whether it's resale or rental on our side. Generally speaking, I do think men are much more conscious when they're shopping for fashion versus women. You know, women tend to be a little more trend-led, and maybe that's societal pressure, and that's a whole different conversation.
Perhaps. Really interesting you say about working with brands, though. That seems like a natural move, and one perhaps others haven't really thought of. There must be a lot out there that's used in photo shoots or as wardrobe as well. So that's quite interesting and something I'd like to keep an eye on for sure. But just talk to me a little bit about how the past year has obviously been. I think people are going out less, and obviously when you're looking for a specific piece, that I think that's the way we shop, I think, quite naturally. You know, I have an event or a night out, and so I'm going to buy something. I'm going to buy a piece that I'd like to wear. So this obviously is a natural place where people would go to rent something, but people haven't been going out, of course. So how has that impacted how things have been going for you?
Yeah, I mean, you know, the knee-jerk reaction that we saw quite a few rental players, whether in the US or UK, was to start pushing marketing around for renting for your Zoom meetings. I think it was Rent the Runway that was making a joke about how you could rent a ball gown because it'd be so hilarious for your Zoom calls. But we actually took the complete opposite approach, where we were being very sensitive towards the news flow that was happening. You know, we were monitoring the peak in neighboring countries like Italy that was struck by the pandemic first, and, you know, kind of being patient, knowing that it was going to be quite a long tunnel. So we were very careful about our marketing and our messaging. And as a pure peer-to-peer player, we really spent our time building the community. So in very commercial terms, that's acquiring users. And then we took our time gently to start pushing out, you know, messaging such as, do you want to Marie Kondo your wardrobe, you know, spring cleaning and all of that while you're stuck at home, to get the supply of the listings on the app to start sort of increasing. Because, you know, we had just launched the app in October 2019. So that's about 5.5 months before the UK went into its first lockdown. So we really kind of worked on the supply side of it and, you know, building our community. Something that I did since last April, and I'm still doing because I had one of these this morning. I run this series called A Glass of Wine With on Instagram, where I interview, you know, a lot of founders, journalists, influencers, you know, all kinds of different people about sustainable fashion and what it means to them. And we've been running that for almost a year with the intention to have like an in-person event. But all of these things have really given quite a few different dimensions to our community. So it's less about renting fashion. It's more about, this is a community where we all have a shared love for fashion, but there's so many different conversations we can have. And I think that's really what set us apart. And, you know, we've now become the largest fashion rental community in the UK. The business is still self-funded. And I have to say, I'm very proud of how far we've come in a very short amount of time.
That is absolutely fantastic. And congratulations on that point. I'm just curious about the impact and sort of your vision moving forward. We began talking about how this can be a solution to less wasteful spending. Fast fashion, I think, plays into that, and consumerism. So what do you hope is the overall impact? And in the community conversation, has that permeated in how people are actually talking about the reason they're renting?
Yeah, great question. And I should have actually mentioned it in the beginning when I was kind of giving an intro. The vision for Buy Rotation and the mission is really to transform how we're consuming fashion. We've made very conscious decisions to make sure the price points of renting quality fashion is much more accessible than buying even fast fashion. So, you know, we're talking about renting a dress from the brand, say, Reformation or Rixo, which is quite a popular British brand, for £15 or £20 for the weekend, versus buying a fast fashion brand dress for £30-40, which inevitably will probably end up in the landfill within the same year. So that's really what we want to do. You know, we want to bring quality fashion and the concept of sharing to as many people as possible. And I think socioeconomic inclusivity is key to this problem. But one of the things that, you know, so the founder of Depop, he's like a mentor to me. And one of the things that he told me is that you might be surprised to learn that maybe your community at this point is not so familiar with the problem of waste in the fashion industry. Sustainability might actually be second in their mind. So that's why we've kind of been teasing that to make it much more inclusive for everyone, including the shopper on Oxford Street. We don't want them to feel like, oh, I'm not an eco-warrior, this is not for me. So it's really about creating a space that everyone can be a part of. And we have definitely seen a lot of women on the app who are super users talking about how they've become much more aware of this problem in the fashion industry, and therefore they're trying to shop less and definitely rent more and share what they already own. So it's kind of great to see that, because our audience ranges from students to homemakers to professors to bankers to celebrities. So it's kind of nice to see that we're leaving small changes in everyone's life. And I think, you know, refusing new product that's really what our main goal is, to get people to share what they already own.
Very well said. Thank you so much for your time. This has been really interesting in learning about Buy Rotation.
Thank you, Daniel.
Ashita Kapur-Davies, founder and CEO of Buy Rotation. You can learn more at buyrotation.com. Next up on today's show, we're off to Hong Kong to meet Sarah Fung, the founder and CEO of Hoola, a luxury fashion consignment platform. Hoola resells pre-owned items from a variety of high-end international brands. That's where Monocle's Nina Mio caught up with Sarah to learn more about Hoola.
I have been in fashion for my whole working life, which is over 20 years. I used to have my own brand in the UK, a lingerie and swimwear brand. And I went to art college, I went to Central St. Martin's. I then ended my business and came to Hong Kong to work for Lane Crawford because I wanted to learn about the industry and work in retail as such. And so that really gave me a good, almost a decade of valuable experience. You know, a few years before that, before I left, I had an idea to start this. And yeah, it took me kind of like a little while to leave, as always. But yeah, here we go.
So tell me about the start of Hoola. What were the challenges you encountered? What was your very first idea when you set up the company?
So, like I said, I was at Lane Crawford at the time. And a few years, like 7 years in, I was like, there was a lot of sample sales like that we had, not sample sales, but staff sales. And things were like costing maybe a very cheap amount to buy them. And things were being kicked around the floor. And I was just looking at all of these pieces and going, oh my God, it was good on one hand, because we could get really amazing pieces for very little. But on another hand, it made me realize how much waste there was and how little value these pieces had become, even only after being like a year old, you know. So it was off season, and I felt like they were being discarded like vegetables. I was asking around, and a lot of people were telling me also that they didn't know where to offload their products and can they resell them, or is there somewhere, how do they get rid of them? And so I decided to start Hoola, and first of all, collecting from my immediate network and my friends and colleagues at work. And some of them had already left and worked at other retailers like Prada and LV and all the rest. And everybody just had so much stuff, though. It was just easy to collect product for me, and I knew the product was authentic. So that's kind of how I started it off, by just having a very few group of people that were really good consigners.
And how did that evolve in what Hoola is today?
When I set this up, I did intend to create a consignment platform. I worked with my sister on the kind of conception of Hoola, and initially we were just going to do an online business. Like I said to you before, that I'd never worked in this type of business before, so there was a lot of working around how pieces should be received, how they should be shot, the processes and logistics of managing a business that actually has a lot of, it's very hands-on, you know, and very inventory heavy. So I think basically we were not really set up properly in that sense. Like we were not on inventory management systems and stuff like that. And something that this is what I kind of almost regret, because we grew so big in the end that, you know, it became kind of almost a little bit messy later. And we're now trying to kind of scrape it back. But that's how we started, was just, yeah, literally hiring an office, shooting the products, uploading the first 1,000 products on a website, and then just seeing what type of traction there would be. And yeah, we got sales. But I must admit, the first 2 years was quite slow for me, because I think in Hong Kong especially, people didn't really understand the concept. And pre-owned or secondhand is relatively new. And so it took us 2 years to shout out about the benefits of buying pre-owned. And luckily, the world has changed, or maybe not so luckily, but we've gone onto the wave of being a sustainable business, where now people are realizing that it's a good thing to do.
For our listeners in the West, can you please describe what the mindset is over here when it comes to fashion, when it comes to buying clothing? Because I feel like Hong Kong is quite different from the West in that sense.
Yeah, and I think definitely, if we're talking when I first got to Hong Kong, maybe that was about 14 years ago, people were spending, and they still do, a lot of money. The change of fashion is very seasonal. I'd never seen this before in the UK because obviously I'm from London initially. In London, people have style, but it's more, I guess, toned down, a little bit like France, I guess. People wear a lot of denim and leather biker jackets and they wear them to death. In Hong Kong, it was always about the newest statement pieces. And because of the location, the size of the city, everybody seemed to see each other at the same events, you know? There's not that many of that type of crowd. So you kind of feel embarrassed wearing something twice to another event. And that's unfortunate, but it's very true. But that has also given Hula the opportunity to become a really great reseller just because of the types of products that we're able to collect. They are pretty new in quality, like, people really hardly wear things here. Most of the items are really kind of fashion forward or relevant styles. And I think Hong Kong is a good place to collect from in that sense.
So can you tell me a little bit about this space where we are today and also the new shop that you just opened on Hollywood Road?
We're so excited. We've been looking for a space in Hollywood Road for some time, which is the center of town, basically. But previous to that, we launched a warehouse space, and we actually say it's the first pre-owned warehouse ever launched in Hong Kong, which is really pretty cool. It's a 4,000 square foot space, and here we have like 6,000 products already. People like to come here. I think it's more for the experienced pre-owned shopper, where you've got racks and racks of clothes to go through, and it actually can be quite overwhelming if you are not used to shopping that way. But we have a lot of great core customers here. And obviously, this is where our office is. So here we would process most of the items and put things out in the warehouse straight away. For the retail space in Hollywood Road, it's a bit more of a boutique. For us, I think it's trying to get more of the local audience into buying pre-owned. It's like a kind of entry level where people can see how great our items are, how the quality and the authenticity before they perhaps buy online or before they come to the warehouse and really kind of spend, you know, dedicate that time to shop with us. We're hoping that that would be the thing that converts people. Yeah, looking forward to it. But yeah, it's a quarter of the size and we have about 10% of our stock there. So it's a highly curated retail space versus this one.
Can you tell me your thoughts on the secondhand fashion market in Asia and how do you see it evolving in the next coming years?
So when I started Hula, like I said, the first 2 years was really difficult. People were literally asking me, why am I selling old clothes? And my family were horrified, actually. But it makes me want to do it even more, you know. So I had the concept of pre-owned because obviously I come from London and this is like very natural for us there to shop secondhand. When I came to Hong Kong, I did realize there wasn't really anything like this. And I think it's because traditionally people saw secondhand clothing as kind of unlucky because usually what would happen is when someone dies, you would donate all the clothes and accessories, whatever they had, to secondhand shops. And then the kind of notion of you buying something that a dead person had is not very cool in Hong Kong and Asia, I think, a lot of parts. So it has taken us a lot of time to shift this. And I think for us, like showing, like I said, the quality of some of the pieces and showing also the people who shop with us, they're cool women and or sell with us, you know, they're buying relevant styles and a lot of our pieces still even have tags on them. So we are just trying to change that mindset, you know, and we've done a lot of like panel discussions and trying to re-educate people about the benefits of pre-owned. And I think, like I was saying before, I think having the physical retail space really helps, trying to elevate the pieces, trying to shift the mindset away from it being secondhand into more kind of being pre-owned.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Sarah Fung, CEO and founder of Hula, speaking to Monocle's Nina Mio in Hong Kong. My thanks to Sarah and to Nina. You can learn more at thehula.com. That's all for this week's episode. Be sure to check out the next episode of Eureka as well. where we will continue the conversation on the resale market and meet Laura Vidrakhan, the founder of Kids O'Clock. My thanks to Jack Jewers, who mixed and edited this show. I'm Daniel Bache. Thank you so much for listening, and goodbye.